Amen. Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. By the help of the Lord this morning, I want to preach on this subject, working with us. Working with us. God bless you. You may be seated. Give honor to Brother Johns and thankful for his leadership and the privilege to be able to speak to you today. I've come today, I feel in the flow of what God has been doing and speaking to us as his church and as a local congregation. I feel directed to further enlighten our perspective of the mandate to make disciples by directing our full attention this morning towards our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who rules sovereignly over all of creation. And just prior to issuing that great commission, Jesus communicated the foundational truth that would serve as the framework of that command. When in Matthew 28 and 18, he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Jesus made perfectly clear that he alone is all powerful. He settled the issue up front that he has absolute power and jurisdiction over all that exists for all of eternity. No wonder then that in the revelatory visions of Revelation 4 and 5, that John would see Jesus Christ as the Lion, sitting on the throne around which all of time and eternity revolves. That John would see the Lion who humbled himself as a silent sacrificial lamb, and yet still utterly defeated once and for all death, hell, and the grave. That John saw the Lion who openly shamed Satan, who can only prate around like a roaring lion, and conclusively demonstrated that he is nothing but a cheap counterfeit of the supreme lordship of Jesus Christ. More than the lyrics of a song, our God really is greater, and he really is awesome in power. There is none like him. There is no other beside him. He alone is the ruler of all that is, and he is my Savior, and he is my provider, and he is my way maker. Every day, all the time, he is who he is, the I am that I am. Our God is awesome. But the overarching purpose of God's sovereign power is not to babysit believers on their way to heaven. It is to seek and to save the lost. So in those precious few days just prior to his ascension, Jesus followed up the declaration of his almighty power with the governing mandate of his kingdom, which we call the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I must confess this morning that I'm still overwhelmed by the reality that God, in all of his infinite wisdom and knowledge, did not command the angels to fulfill his redemptive purpose. Surely they would have flawlessly executed the work of the kingdom. But God, in his wisdom, that he chose me and that he chose you, in spite of the inherent weakness of our ever-present humanity, in spite of our hang-ups, in spite of our habits, in spite of our hurts, in spite of our proclivity to be self-absorbed, in spite of our tendency to be easily distracted, that God chose you and God chose me. And he commissioned every disciple with the same universal command, go and make disciples. How do you make disciples? First, you baptize them, which is representative of the whole process of initiation into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And then you make disciples by teaching them, which is the never-ending process of learning about him and being conformed into his image. You don't make disciples by teaching them so they can be baptized. You make disciples by baptizing them so that they are born again of water and spirit, and then you teach them the doctrines and the principles of the Word of God. That is the mandate. Jesus said, I have all authority. So as my disciples go and make disciples, more disciples. Simple enough, straightforward. But nevertheless, our execution of this clear commission is not simply a relationship of formal obedience. Instead, as we work to turn sinners into friends and friends into disciples, we have this indisputable assurance of the ultimate success of the mission. For Jesus continued in verse 20 of Matthew 28, and he said, and lo, or simply in our vocabulary, pay attention, wake up and listen to what I have to say. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Thankfully, when it comes to the mandate of making disciples, that we are not lone rangers assigned to a futile mission, but we are an integrated army of disciples who are directly connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, and he is working with us. So without a doubt, not because of who we are, not because of what we have done, but through him and him alone, we are more than able to fulfill the mission, because he said, I am with you always. And did he not tell Peter, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? He said that. He promised that. And yet Matthew's account of Christ's commission is not the end of the story, because in Luke's account in Acts, Jesus expanded this assurance when he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And then in Mark's account, Jesus goes even further with the assurance, and these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Jesus is not just with us, but he is in us, and he is working through us to build his church and to confirm his word and to affirm our witness through supernatural signs and wonders. It is the assurance of Scripture. All of this precisely aligns to what Jesus had earlier promised his disciples in John 14 prior to his crucifixion, when he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father." And so just as he promised, he performed. As Mark concludes his gospel with this statement, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. Following that promised outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, the disciples of Jesus wholeheartedly embraced the mandate to make disciples. They just went about everywhere seeking, can we turn a sinner into a friend? And can we turn a friend into a disciple? And just as Mark affirms in the closing verse of his gospel, so Acts affirms throughout the book that God worked with them, that God affirmed his word, and that God affirmed their witness with signs and wonders and supernatural demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Acts 5 and 12 lets us know that through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And verse 14 says, the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Therefore, the witness of the early church was marked by the supernatural. Notable miracles that opened doors to people who were desperate for deliverance and desperate for a healing. Divinely orchestrated connections with people like the Ethiopian ruler or Apollos, who were already familiar with or even well versed in the scriptures, but needed to be shown the truth of Jesus Christ more fully. Spiritually sincere people like Cornelius, having divine visions that initiated and affirmed the preaching of the disciples. Unjust and unprovoked persecutions that turned into strategic appointments with people who were far removed from the sphere of the disciples' influence, like the Philippian jailer and his household. God just sent, and they just went, but God went with them, and God worked with them, and the church grew person by person and day by day. So much so that the final word of Acts, describing God working with them, Paul preaching and teaching from the heart of Rome under the nose of Caesar, is simply unhindered. That gospel message, unhindered. The church ever increasing, unhindered. Against all adversaries and all adversities, unhindered triumph. The final statement of Acts is not just a conclusion, but instead it is a two be continued so that every disciple marches forward unhindered and every generation makes disciples unhindered. And no matter the empire and no matter the culture and no matter the political system and no matter all the powers of hell, that the gospel ever advances unhindered, that disciples make disciples unhindered. It is the purpose of God. A call to be embraced, a commission to fulfill, an open-ended invitation to you and I to join in this unstoppable phenomenon of God's redemptive love, disciples making disciples. A call from God, a call of the first century church, a call of the Acts of the Apostles, a call to the corporate we, and a call to the individual me. But nevertheless, I am not ignorant this morning that though we may hear the call and though we may desire to answer that call and though I may want to be a part of the story and be a part of the latest chapter in God's story of redemption, I am not ignorant that Satan seeks to isolate our perspective solely upon our insufficiencies. If you've ever looked into the distorted mirror of Satan's house of horror, you know what I'm talking about. You're not good enough. Your past is too dark. Your tongue is too twisted. Your brain is too slow. You don't make enough money. You're not the right color. You don't have enough education. You couldn't tie your shoe if you tried to. You couldn't climb out of that. You couldn't rescue yourself. All the things that bombard us and try to isolate ourselves to be focused solely upon our insufficiencies. I know I may be preaching to the mirror of a pulpit, but I know that he strives to intimidate us into believing that we are not able to go into the promised land. He strives to intimidate you and I that the enemy of our soul is just too strong. He's just too cunning. He's just too enticing for us to make disciples. He seeks to deceive us into believing that we're not good enough, that we're not smart enough, that we're not influential enough to turn sinners into friends and friends into disciples. But hear me clear this morning. Satan is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And furthermore, like the milk in your refrigerator, he has an expiration date crushed into his forehead. And one angel all by himself is going to cast him into the garbage pit of eternal disposal. So don't be intimidated by he who only pretends to be a lie. Every mirror he shows you is a false narrative. Every time he speaks, it's a lie. Every doubt he plants, it's of hell. And I've come to cause you and invite you to lift up your eyes off of him and off of yourselves and behold your God, for your God is for you. And if God be for you, then who can be against you? That no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. That everywhere you go, you are an ambassador of the name of Jesus Christ. I am insufficient. You are insufficient. But he is all sufficient. He's all I need. He's all that you need, and He is working with you. You need to just shake yourself. Stand up. Square your shoulders. Lift up your head. And behold your God, whose name is Jesus. You're not a mercenary. You're not abandoned to do this all by yourself. You are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you speak in His name, you speak on His behalf. And when you act in His name, you act on His behalf. Every step you take, and every place you go, and every person you talk to already belongs to Him. He was there before you got there. His jurisdiction is uncontestable. And so when you show up, it is with divine appointment. And as the ambassador of God, with all of heaven arrayed at your beck and call, would you stand up and would you answer the call and would you make disciples for His glory and His honor and His name? When we pray in His name, we release an unstoppable force that brings to bear all the power of the universe on the matter we are praying about. So by the grace of God, let us pray. Let us boldly pray. Let us pray with great faith. Let us pray with tenacity. Let us pray mind-blowing and kingdom-minded prayers. Let us pray for God to lead us to sinners who need a friend. Let us pray for the courage to be their friend and bring them into our circle of influence like the early church. Let us pray for boldness to be a living witness of God's redemptive love. God working with us. You may be seated. We're almost there. I realize it's possible, if not probable, that many of the friends within your circle of influence may be marked by addictions, traumatized emotions, bitterness over injustice, hidden nightmares of abuse, immorality and perversion, relational dysfunction, the cares of this world, and the self-absorbed affluence. And it is possible this morning that you may feel a bit overwhelmed and grossly inadequate to make disciples out of friends like these. But may I remind you that such were some of you. But you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. All because an ambassador of Jesus Christ walked into the chaos of your life and befriended you and showed you a better way. It might have been quick, it might have been slow, but ultimately the love of Jesus won the day, and you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. So, in like manner, you are an ambassador called by God to step in the chaos of their world and befriend them and show them a better way. So like the first disciples, it is imperative that we partner with God in prayer, asking Him to confirm His word and our witness by delivering them, healing them, convicting their heart, comforting them, opening their understanding, speaking to them in dreams and visions, and above all, leading them to repentance. And through it all, this is our assurance that when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness and with great power. The apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I've not come intentionally with hype, hyperbole, or emotional drama to move you to some desired response, but by the word of the Lord to lift your eyes off of a lying Satan and off of yourself and to behold Jesus and to remind you of His call, that He chose you and He's already prepared the way before you. He just stands waiting on you to answer the call, for you to assess who's in your circle and then go make disciples. And when you go, you'll not go alone, for as we work to turn sinners into friends and friends into disciples, God is working with us and confirming His word through us. God working with us. Jesus. And He's here right now. He's here right now. Every need you have, He's here right now to meet that need. If you've been fleecing Him, trying to figure out if He is really on your side, right now, if you have the guts to approach His throne, He has the power to answer your prayer. His presence fills this sanctuary. He stands ready to confirm His word today. Whatever it takes for you to know that God is working with us. And if He puts you in that person's life, you are more than able to make a disciple for the glory of God. Whether you're a longtime disciple or you're brand new trying to figure out if you even believe that He is God, He is. And He's here today to meet you right where you're at now, working with us. So in Jesus' name, there's healing for you today. In Jesus' name, there is deliverance of addiction and shackles today. In Jesus' name, there is peace today. for your troubled, disturbed mind today. In Jesus' name, there is forgiveness of every sin. None is too great. In Jesus' name, there is salvation for your soul. He's fighting for you. He's pushing back the darkness for you. He's bringing light into your dark world for you. He knows where you're at. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has ordained you to make disciples, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Today, He's here. If you can have the faith to call on His name, you have the faith to receive a miracle. You don't need me to pray for you. You don't need Brother John's to pray for you. You can pray for yourself in Jesus' name. A disciple who's standing around you right now can lay their hands on you and pray for you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you call upon His name? Would you call upon His name for yourself, for people that are all around you? Come on, let's make disciples right now this morning. Let's exercise our faith. God is working with us, for us. He's on our side.